Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspiration.
Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You will be connected now.
There are six participants in the conference. Please announce yourself.
The recording has started.
Okay. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which is actually your one-hour inspirational program and a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host and facilitator. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We're so glad that you all tuned in with us tonight. We're looking forward to a brilliant show. Let's go ahead and start welcoming our honorable guest tonight. Let's start with Pastor Rowe, the international speaker himself. Pastor Rowe, welcome.
Great to be on there, Dr. Walker, and to our great, unique Blog Talk Radio team.
Yes. Let's go ahead and welcome also Miss Jay to the show tonight. Miss Jay, welcome to the show this evening.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be on the show again tonight for another exciting topic.
All right. Excellent. Let's go ahead and welcome Sparkle to tonight's broadcast. Sparkle, we welcome you. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, everyone, and the co-host. I'm looking forward to tonight's topic.
All right, excellent. Let's go ahead and welcome Mimi to tonight's broadcast. Thank you for being here, Mimi.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Walker. I'm glad to be here. Looking forward to the show tonight.
All right, I think we have Shield of Faith, but I think we have Candlesticks with us tonight. Our pastor is going to be tuning in. So if we have any other co-hosts that I may have missed, please state your names. All right, perhaps we have other callers that have called in. If you're one of our callers and you were invited to the show, please give us your name and who you were invited by.
My name is Peggy Bonner, and I was invited by Mimi.
Oh, very good, Ms. Bonner. We're so glad to have you. We hope you'll stay for the duration of the show. And Mimi, we're certainly glad that you invited her. Thank you for that. Tonight's topic we're going to ask, yes, ma'am. Pastor, we're going to ask you to offer a brief word of prayer for the opening of our show tonight, which we're excited about.
Let's pray, God, our Father. We give adoration and praise to you. We thank you, Lord, for this day, for truly this day is the day that you have made and we will rejoice in it. Lord, as we go forward on this Blog Talk radio show, Lord, we pray that the insights that we receive, the knowledge that you give, Lord, will be practical in putting these practices into existence so we can have a better life. Thank you for each and every person that's on the call, Lord. Thank you for our leaders, Dr. Walker, Lord, that's taking us to new heights in improving and restoring relationships. Lord, we want you to know we love you and we praise you. This prayer we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Pastor Roll. We're welcome now. Candlesticks, thank you for joining us. Good to have you.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Glad to be here.
Good. All right, so I just want to skip subject just for a moment, and it's the end of the work week, as we call it. And is anybody out there celebrating life? We sound a little down starting out. I mean, but we got breath in us. We're above 6 feet. So, I mean, are we still rejoicing in God? Candace, let me go to you. Are we still rejoicing in God?
Yes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
There you go. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so some people maybe have gone through something, and you know, but where there's light, there's hope. So, you know, we want to kind of like wake up and shake it up. And, you know, I mean, you know, somebody asked the question, can aspiring Christians or Christians, whatever we call ourselves, can we have fun? We say, well, you shouldn't drink. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. Everything is don't. Well, what do we do? And we're going to have an upcoming show on that topic, too. What can we do? So, I mean, Michelle, I want to, just before you give the disclaimer, I want to ask you the question. I know this is off subject tonight, but if all the rules were don't, then, I mean, why couldn't we have just been made robots if all the rules are don't? Michelle?
Sometimes you got to step on this and realize the things you need to do and don't do. Bag back from everything, you know, experiment, you know, rejoice, do new things.
So, I mean, I can recall that the reading of the Bible, that God gave them pretty much one instruction, and don't touch that tree, don't eat from it. But it's like they had the whole universe to do whatever else they wanted to do. So it wasn't, somebody's correcting here, you all, were there a lot of don'ts? Yes, go ahead, Candlestick.
You know, I think that the don't come in because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So everything we do as sinful beings go against the word of God. And so God wants to bring us back to the joy of having a sinless life. And so we've just been raised to drink and to do drugs and to, you know, not that partying, depending on what it is the wrong thing. There's different conceptions of partying. But if you look at the don'ts and turn them around as, because the don'ts are things that are harmful to us. And so if we look at it that way, I think we will find more liberty in the don'ts, because God's telling us don't do these things because these are the things that will harm you.
All right.
There's a lot of liberty in doing right.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I think what becomes important to me, because I'll tell you, we won't stay on this subject very long, but it's almost like, you know, I think this is just my opinion, you all, and Ms. Jay's going to give the disclaimer in just a second. I want to say this here. I think it's been mankind that have come up with so much doctrine that they're the ones that are putting these don'ts, and God, I'm never trying to get in trouble with you. Because even with the Ten Commandments, I mean, it's not, somebody else has come up with a whole lot of other rules that makes it seem like, okay, I don't want to go there. You know, I had rules in my mother's house, you know, for 17 years until I cut the umbilical cord, and I'm not saying it was wrong, but it was like, I mean, do you supposed to have parenting all your life by human beings? At what point in time, and this is a question for you, I just want to throw out there, at what point in time am I supposed to grow up and try out for myself? But you, as my mom, and I love my mom, don't get me wrong, anybody, please. But come on now, Miss Day, you, my mom is like, I'm 37. My son told me the other day, he's like, Dad, I'm 43. Okay, you know, I'm like, darn, I'm sorry, son. Miss Day, okay, can you, like, let me do it on my own?
You know, I believe in letting people grow up and be adults and do for themselves. So when you get out of time here to get your mind together on what you need to do for your future, and it's time to, you know, I help you in any way I can, but it's time to start thinking for yourself, you know. You can't have nobody to give you your bottle all forever, you know, feed you forever.
All right. All right, so... So, I mean, it's like, to me, you know, we come up with all of these doctrines and rules, and it's like that I think are, I believe, this is my humble opinion, man-made a lot of them. And so now it's like, man, I can't do this. I can't brush my hair on this day. You know, I seen a guy that went into mental illness because he was so religious growing up that he was walking down the street. He it got to the point where it infringed on mental illness. And we talked about this on the show recently. This man was scared to touch lines on the sidewalk. So he was walking very slow to not touch lines because somewhere he heard if you touch a crack, you know, something about your mama. Anybody ever heard that one? Your mama break her back?
Yes. You step on the crack, you break your mama's back.
Okay, see there? See? So, you see? You step on a crack. I'm like, great day. Can you imagine growing up thinking that? If I step on a crack, I'm going to break my mama's back. Step on a crack, break my mama's back. Step on a crack, break my mama's back. And he was like, darn. You're going to get hit by a car looking for them cracks. Miss Dick, give us a disclaimer, please, so we get on with tonight's topic. Step on a crack, break your mama's back.
The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice, and should not be taken as such. The show intent is not to push any denomination, religion, or tradition, but to share knowledge and experiences with no offensive or negative tone. We are here solely to address tonight's topic based on our own individual subjective opinion, and that opinion does not make the individual less than a believer. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you and enjoy the program tonight.
All right. If you're just joining us, we've already had a word of prayer. We want to invite Sir Benny to tonight's broadcast. Sir Benny, thank you for joining us. Good to have you. Sir Ben, perhaps he's on mute.
Good evening.
All right. Thank you, sir, for being here with us. I know at 7:15, Sparkles is going to ring a jingle or something to let us know it's time for drawing. I thought it was next week, but she says it's tonight. Okay, so that'll come in just a couple of minutes. So tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, and we haven't presented over the air to any of them, of you all, but tonight's topic is going to be one that's very deep, and we're going to get into it. As soon as they put it up on the screen, I'm supposed to know this by heart. And anybody got tonight's topic right in front of them? Okay, here we are. Without passing judgment, how do you tell someone their offensive words or actions do not appear Christ-like? Without passing judgment, now that's the key here, without being judgmental, how do you tell someone that their words or their actions are offensive, their offensive words or actions do not appear Christ-like? Sir Ben, let me go to you and begin by asking the question. Okay, I'm just a horrible person, mean, don't care what I say, I curse like a sailor. So I just, I'm in management, so I'm accustomed to being in charge. So my attitude just goes with that sometimes. And it's like, I don't care what you think about me. I just, you know, this is how you're going to do it, and that's it. Now, leave me a so-and-so alone. So, Sir Ben, but I go to church. I'm a deacon in the church. So, Sir Ben, and you go to the same church. How do you lovingly tell me without passing judgment on me? Because you don't know what I've been through. You haven't walked in my shoes. So, Sir Ben, how do you tell me that I'm being offensive, and it's not demonstrating a behavior like Christ?
Well, if we are calling ourselves Christians, and we're supposedly being Christians, then
everything we should do should be done on the low. That means that even in your debacle of a man who is speaking to me, I still can see you as who you are. And I can see you as a person that you're my friend, you're my fellow brother in the church, you're a fellow Christian, and I'm supposed to operate in love. And a lot of times what we do is we allow situations and conversations to mess up what we have in a friendship, in a connection, and other things. So therefore, we end up in a debacle of a situation because we're not operating in love. Everybody has bad days, good days, some days that are okay, but we still should see each other in love. And so we're supposed to dust that off, shake it off, and keep on moving on and just say, okay, well, you've been a bad mood. Let me go ahead and avoid that. Now, to answer the question, if I respond in love, then what happens after that is not on me. That's on him.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Missy, I want to go over here to you with the same question. I just cursed you out, but we go to the same church. But something got on my nerves, and I took it out on you. And so you know I'm the head deacon in there. And, in fact, I'm even one of the elders as well. So when I get to church, you know I'm not going to be talking, cursing like a sailor. But you heard me cursing. I just cursed you out for some reason because you got on my nerves, my last nerves. And I don't know how people say the last nerves, like they don't have more nerves. But anyway, so, Ms. Day, how do you lovingly, without judging me, tell me that I'm not acting like Christ? My pastor, Ms. Day, is on mute. Let me go over here to Sparkles. Sparkles, same scenario. What are you going to say, Sparkles?
Well, I would say, Brother Walker, you know, the language that you're using, you know that that is not becoming of a Christian. And what would Christ think of this, your speech and your conversation?
So now I'm taking a bigger attitude because I'm thinking that you're judging me now. And I'm tending to think that, okay, you're talking about what I do, but I heard rumors that you were seeing this lady's husband, you know, on the side, okay? So now then I call you out on that, which, you know, it appears true because y'all used to date before, and now he got married 6 months after dating you, after dumping you, and now you're still in love with him. Hello. But you can say something about me?
Well, I didn't know you were trying to turn on me. However, you know, I was bringing to your attention what I heard you saying, and you were using offensive language and all. So I'm not here to talk about me and my actions and all, but I was just bringing it to your attention.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. So, Mimi, same scenario. So now it's not about you because the same scenario, the guy dumped you 6 months later, married somebody else, but now you're going to call me out and say my stuff is not like Christ-like. Okay, but what about your stuff? You're still seeing this man. So you're passing judgment. How can you lovingly tell me without passing judgment that my language is offensive or what my actions are doing is not Christ-like? Without, go ahead, and then Candlestick, same thing.
You know, you go ahead and finish.
Okay, so how is that? You're seeing this married man that you used to date, and he dumped you because he got mad at you about something, and he married another lady in the church. And now you can't stand her, she can't stand you. But then all of a sudden now you want to play Miss Holiness and tell me about my stuff because I cursed you out the day before. And you want to tell me that that's not being Christ-like. Are you in any position to say that?
I think so, because I'm not cursing at you, and what I do, is it may not be right. However, I'm not displaying a negative conversation and cursing people out. However, I need to, you know, stay out of your business and get mine right, first of all. And then that way, I can't pass judgment on you because I don't know, but it's wrong to be cutting people out. I don't care what position you hold, you could be the pastor because that's still wrong. It's negative, and it doesn't build people up.
So
you can't celebrate a person, don't judgment on them.
So, Mimi, are you any better than me with what you're doing? We're talking the issue is, is my behavior demonstrating Christ-like behavior, and you're calling me out because I'm cursing you out. But then you got stuff going on in church. You don't even like the man's wife because you got dumped. And so now here it is. You don't like her. She doesn't like you. And y'all both trying to act like y'all real Christians in the church. And then you seeing him on the side. So, I mean, I'm confused here. Who's qualified?
Nobody's qualified to say anybody anything. However, if that's an issue, I will pull you to the side. You know, I'll be like, y'all got issues too. You supposed to be an example. You know, in a sense, and what I'm doing doesn't make it right, but I'm not displaying a negative behavior. I'm just, hurting myself in the interim.
Well,
I need to get it together.
Okay, so, Mimi, you said I'm supposed to be an example. You're supposed to be an example, too. Who said that I was your example? Where does it say that let man be your example?
Not my example. You were displaying a negative behavior like that. I wouldn't use you as an example. I probably wouldn't be there for you.
I'm not the pastor now. I'm just one of the deacons and the elders. I'm not. Okay, we're going to have to stand by. Huh?
I said, if you're supposed to be a leader, then conduct yourself as a leader.
But you're a leader, too. You're on the deacon. You're one of the deaconess.
But you just said I was a deacon.
Okay, but now you got that title. Oh, so you're a member. So you're not supposed to be an example just if you're just a member, sitting member.
No, I'm just supposed to be an example. But I have to answer to God for my errors, my mistakes.
But just,
it wouldn't be like that. I mean, I can't judge for anybody.
Okay, so if God is not, my understanding is God is no respecter of persons. So just because I'm a deacon or an elder, and just say you're a member, doesn't God look at us the same? So you're saying, example, you say I'm not your example. But it's like, can anybody be a model example? Can anyone? All right, we're going to ask you.
I mean, being a leader, I mean, people are looking at you for direction. They're coming to you.
Okay. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by me. Kevin Stick, I want to go to you. I think Ms. Jay is just in listening mode. Correct us, Ms. Jay, if you're not. Kenneth, I want to go to you, and I want to ask this question. I didn't set myself out. They voted me to be an elder and a deacon. Okay, that's just how it is. Okay? So, oh, yes, right. So here we are. Now you're seeing this married man, but you want to call me out because I cursed you out.
Get your scenario.
They're all inspired by true stories. Every one of them, I promise you all, they're inspired by true events that have taken place forever. Go ahead, Kenneth State. You got cursed out.
Can I go back to the original? I'm going to do this a little differently.
Okay, go ahead.
My deacon, you know, curse and all that, and I'm a friend. The route that I would go, I would wait until we're at church and after a sermon has been preached. You know, we probably outside after church and be, you know, talking. And I would bring up the sermon. I would say, man, you know, that was a really good sermon today. You know, there's some things going on in my life that I need to correct. You know, I used to date this woman. You know, we no longer date, but, you know, we see each other. And I know that, you know, that's just the appearance of evil. So I just need to
kind of back away from her since we no longer see each other. And, you know, I just want to start living my life right. I want to worship God in spirit and in truth. You know, and, you know, Deacon Walker or whatever his name is, you know, let's be accountable to one another. You know, let's partner together to pray, you know, and just check on one another every now and then to see how we're doing. And I would use that approach. That way I would not be pointing fingers at him. I would use that to, as Jesus uses parables. And, you know, and if he accepts, you know, the thing about us being, you know, accountable to one another, then that could be something that we can start praying about. You know, you can bring it up yourself and say, man, you know, I got this cursing problem, you know, blah, 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 whatever. But, you know, just use it, you know, just turn it around to yourself. And because, like you said, we're all sinners. And this way we cannot be judgmental. We can't be, self-righteous. You know, it would be all about me wanting him to mentor me, per se. And that will make him like, wow, you know, this man respects me, you know, and maybe in his quiet time he may have some time to think about what I said to him and want to change his life and his speech to do right.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Maybe from Black, I want to bring you in here with this scenario here. And it's like, I cursed somebody out yesterday. Now, Sir Ben, I cursed you out yesterday. And all of a sudden now, we go to the same church. I'm the deacon. I'm one of the deacons in there. You're one of the elders. And I know some stuff about you, and you definitely know some stuff about me. So how are you going to call me out when I curse like a seal? And then do you think I'm going to possibly, well, I told you some of my secret stuff. So we both got stuff on each other. So how can you really call me out in a loving way and tell me that my actions or words are not Christ-like when I know you got three extra women and I got four and we both got a wife? So, Sir Ben,
we have a combination of everybody. But it's interesting that we as Christians have a certain standard of doing things, but just because you go to church don't mean you're a Christian. We just mean that you're a person that attends church. You may still have a whole bunch of worldly. How come we don't respect people who have different issues? I personally have a sister. She's been going to church all her life. She's a wonderful person, but she curses like a sailor. But now, when she's around church people, they don't ever hear her. I just happen to be one of the few people that see her curse all the time because, you know, a bad person. That's not for me to decide. She's still my sister. I love her.
Right.
I have friends who, you know, smoke. I have friends who do all kinds of stuff. But that's what they do. They don't do it with me in front of me. They just do it, and I'm aware that they do it. Am I supposed to be disrespectful to them because of what they do? That would be the same as shining the light on me and saying, well, you know, because I'm this, you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
No. And that's where we get in trouble because we want everybody to be like us. Guess what? Everybody's not like us. Everybody don't want to pretend like they don't want to say a curse word. They just say it. I'm telling you, we as Christians, and I'm being honest.
I know.
We as Christians are the most penitentiary people you can ever meet. We spend more time in jail worried about what other people did and what we shouldn't do than the people who ain't even in jail. They should be in jail. A person of color don't care about what you're talking about, Christians, but they don't care about that. But we care about what they do. Why? I ain't never heard no one in the Bible that say you don't make it back. You're not going to make it back heaven because you cursed.
No. Okay, see, same thing here. I've never heard that. I've never in my life heard that. So, see, here's where we come up with these rules. So that's why tonight's topic, without passing judgment, can we actually do it, Sir Ben? Can we, without passing judgment, can we tell someone in a loving way? How do you tell someone their offensive words or actions do not appear Christ-like? Can we do that without passing judgment, knowing that we got mess, and loads of it going on in our own lives?
Well, first of all, I got to look in the mirror and look at me. I got to look at me. Maybe there's something wrong with me.
maybe I'm so Christian and so religious that I don't have a Teflon coating or Teflon skin. I'm saying things just don't bother me.
God said it, it's true. So I mean, can I pass judgment and tell you that you're not acting like a Christian?
Well, my opinion is we shouldn't be passing judgment, but we're human. And if we start doing that and all that stuff, then we are judging in a way according to what we perceive as, something that's wrong or whatever. So if maybe we should oppose someone that's done something like in love and brotherly love or sisterly love that, hey, my brother or hey, my sister, what I just heard, is that it was offensive to me. Put it on yourself. It was offensive to me, not you shouldn't be saying this or whatever. All of us were offended by what you said.
But you say you heard what you heard from someone when you
if
say
I heard it, I could just say I was offended, my brother. I was offended that I heard you cursing. I felt bad, Brother Walker.
Because I cursed you out?
Well, you cursed me out, or if I heard you cursing someone else out, I just, I wouldn't say it in front of anybody. It would just be a thought. I'd say, hey, Brother Walker, there's something that's just been bothering me or whatever. You say, okay, well, what is it, blah, blah, blah. And then I would say, well, I was offended by something that I heard you say.
Right.
What did you hear me say? I heard you saying, blah, 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 blah. And I was shocked. I was kind of hurt that I look up to you.
Okay.
And stuff like that. So I would maybe approach it like that. Not trying to judge or nothing, but just put it that I was offended.
I get it. So now, as Brother Walker, I'm coming in, I'm saying, well, Sister Sparkles, I'm sorry that you were offended, but I wasn't even talking to you. And if you kind of mind your, because now you're coming at me, right? So now it's like, if you had mind your own business, I wasn't even like talking to you, Sister Sparkles. And then I say, Sister Sparkles, can I just ask you a question? And you probably say, yes, go ahead. And so I say, and I'm trying to do it in a loving way, Sister Sparkles, and I'm asking you, let's see how you answer this. Sister Sparkles, have you ever watched, you watch TV, is that fair to ask that question? You do watch TV, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I say, you ever watch movies that have a lot of profanity in it, Sparkles?
No, I don't.
So Sparkles, you're telling me on the church grounds right now that you don't watch any movies that have profanity in it?
I honestly, I'm not a movie buff and all that stuff like that, but, I don't like scary movies.
I get it.
If it was a lot of profanity, and I'm like, no.
Not that I'm calling him out of judgment, judging him, but you like Denzel Washington movies? You know, most of the ladies like him. He's cute and stuff like that. Do you like Denzel Washington, his movies?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever watch Training Day?
Yes, I did.
Why are you laughing, Sister Sparkles, on the church ground? Why are you... I'm just asking you why are you laughing, Sister Sparkles, on the church ground.
I know that movie did have profanity. It did have profanity in it.
But you like Denzel Washington, and you enjoyed the movie Training Day. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it was good.
Okay, so... And I'm not passing judgment on Denzel Washington or anything like that, y'all, because I'm the least among everybody. But the thing is, I never heard Denzel Washington curse as much on any movie as he did in that movie. And I'm like, it didn't even make sense to me, the movie, really. But I just thought it had a moral point to it at some point, which I didn't find. Perhaps someone else did, and I'm not judging it. So I'm back to you, Sister Sparks, and it says, and we're on the church round because you came to me because you heard me cursing somebody out on the church round. Mm-hmm. And then so I say, and you just told me you watched that movie and it was good. And so what's the difference between Denzel and me? Because he's a movie star? I'm just asking.
No. I mean, I just happened to be around a close proximity to you when I heard you saying something that kind of threw me off and shocked me, and it kind of offended me.
Okay. Can you just, like, get over that? Because you'll get over Denzel Washington. Watch another movie. Did you watch another movie of Denzel Washington that may have had profanity in it?
I don't know. I probably have.
Right, of course. So then here we are again. We may, and as far as this is, you know, we're switching gears here, and this is, I'm just making a point here about, you know, we people, generally speaking, you know, part of what, you know, I don't talk about my studies much, but I do think it's important that the reason why a lot of these questions come into play, my field is human science, the science of human beings, why we act the way we do, why we don't do some of the things that we were created to do, how we got all messed up. That's the theocentric psychology part that I've also studied. And it's like, it's a mess. We are an absolute mess. And sin has caused this whole thing for us to be this mess. And we still indulge in it. And we can't even pass judgment against Adam and Eve because we're still responsible for our own actions, behaviors, our thoughts, everything. But we still tend to do the very thing. Even Paul said it in all of those chapters that he wrote. You know, so it's Mimi, do we use this? I'm going to bring you in here now, Mimi. And Candlestick, stand by. Sir Ben, stand by. Do we use this as a justification? Do we use it as a justification?
We use it, what you were saying.
I'm sorry?
I repeat what you were saying.
Did you not hear what I was saying, Mimi?
Okay, I just heard bits and pieces of it. We use what as justification?
Do we use our actions, our excuses? Do we modify our words to justify our actions, our behavior? Is that what we're doing?
We do. Whatever we say to fit the situation, people are going to turn it around to it benefits them. They could be wrong, but they're going to justify why they did what they did. And that's not right. I mean, because everything, it could be black and white. If we want to be Christ-like, then we need to act like this and don't make an excuse when we don't, because we all mess up. We all sin. We all err. And when we err, we just have to admit, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, forgive me, repent, and keep it moving instead of saying, well, I did it because of. You're trying to justify why you did something that was wrong.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Your guest, Ms. Bonner, are you there?
Yes.
Would you like to comment?
Well, first of all, if we're Christians, we should imitate Jesus in everything that we do. But we're fallible human beings, and we do sin, and we do make errors. We're just Christians that fall down. We just have to get back up and keep going.
Okay. All right. Fall down and keep getting.
Yes.
Sparkles, let me bring you in for a second. Are we going to do the jingle tonight?
Yes, we are. Let me know when you're ready.
I was telling you, it's 7:15. That's automatic.
But you were asking questions.
I know, but you're supposed to jingle. That would shut me up. Sparkles, remember? All right, go ahead. On you.
Okay. Are y'all keeping me on? Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm shaking it up. The container with all the names anyway. Okay, so here we go. And I am getting ready to pull out the winter for today and this week. And it is let's see, who's the winner? Oh, I put in the new name for our new co-host.
Oh, really?
She was on last night. Yes.
Sunshine. Oh, wow.
Sunshine. Okay.
Hey.
Wow.
Because she's a co-host,
right?
Right.
That's appropriate. Okay.
Until she's a winner.
All right. I don't even think she's with us tonight, and you don't have to be present to win. That's excellent. So explain to our listening audience as co-host how they win, and even the listening audience, how their name, when they've been invited by someone, they listen more often, like Ms. Bonner tonight. Her name will go in one, so we'll start having a couple of them, once a month for them and once every other week for the co-host. Go ahead and explain to them how it works, Sparkle.
Okay, so our co-host can pitch with everyone, for those that know and maybe those that don't. So we're doing a incentive for the co-host. So the first incentive is for the co-host. Co-hosts who are on 8 episodes for 2 weeks. Your name goes in. So if you're on, you know, every Thursday, Friday for the last week and every Thursday, Friday this week, your name has gone into the pot 4 times. So as many times that you're on and participating and all, your name is in the drawing. The second incentive is for co-hosts to invite friends, family, whoever, to join in and to listen, and hopefully they will announce themselves, say their name, and make a comment or so. And so that particular part on their name, co-host name, will go into the drawing and all, and that will take place on the 21st of April and all that stuff. That will be a month, so I have to look and see if that's going to be next week or how we'll do that. But anyone, any visitors, anything like that, that's what we're doing as far as couples and students. So we encourage you to join in and to listen and all that stuff like that. So whoever invited you, their name goes in to the part of co-host. And if they do win, then that is up to them as to what they would want to do with the gift card.
All right. Excellent, excellent. We're working on something, too, for all the new listeners, like Ms. Bonner, and put her name in for... we're going to come up with another incentive for the listening audience where they have a chance every month to win as well, okay? So Ms. Bonner will go in, and it'll be for the entire month. So April will already count as a month. So if she's on any other shows, every time she's on a show, her name will go in that particular whatever you have. But there are three different ones. There are three separate ones now, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, three separate ones. So her name will go in there that one time. If she's on again next Thursday, it goes in again, and Friday again. And if she's the only one, she wins herself. So that's how we'll do that. Right, for that entire month. Yeah. So even if she only came on twice for the month, her name's in there twice. You know, and she doesn't have to be present to win, but somebody has to know her, the person who invited her. All right. Thank you for that, Sparkle. We'll let Sunshine know that she was a winner. All right, so here we go. We'll go ahead now and continue with tonight's broadcast. You know, so I'm really, we want to wrap this up because we're going to be closing out shortly. So now I want to go to candlesticks. Candlesticks, but the Bible tells us that when we, and I'm paraphrasing here, when we know that a brother or sister is not doing that which is right, which is Christ-like, aren't we supposed to go to them, or when they brought air to us, when they've offended us, we go to them, you know, basically three times, take a person with us, then if they're not listening in, shake the dust on our feet and keep it moving? Candlesticks?
You know, I am so happy that you asked me this question.
Okay.
Matthew 18, starting with verse number 11. And we can, whenever you have time, you can read the beginning of the chapter, because I'm not trying to take things out of context.
Okay, Matthew what?
Matthew chapter 18.
18.
Verse 11.
11, okay. Thank you.
And it says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doeth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountain and seeketh that which is gone astray? Dear Sparkle, and if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more
of that sheep than of the 90 and 9 which went not astray. So 14 says, even so it is the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should not perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, which is a sin, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take him, you know, two or three. But my point is that God wants us to help our brethren out. And some people may say sin is subjective because they're not seeing it word for word in the Word of God. And I think when sometimes for me, when I do that, I'm asking, evading the question and making excuses for myself. When I say, well, I didn't see those exact words in the Word of God. We're not going to see a lot of the exact words in the Word of God, but we know right from wrong. We know good from bad, and we know what we as an individual are not are supposed to do or not do. And, like, I think it was Mimi. You know, she said, God is our example. We're supposed to follow him, and I understand that the church is people who are in the hospital, they don't stay sick. They're supposed to get well.
Or die.
They're supposed to change. Exactly. But they can die to self.
Right.
You don't have to literally die.
Right.
You know, they will die to self, which is dying to sin. And God has given us a commandment, be ye perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And perfect is not being judgmental. My interpretation of being perfect is really not sinning. Or when we do, he said that we have an advocate with the Father. So if I do sin, when I do, or, you know, because at the times we all have and we will, we can go to the Father and ask for forgiveness. And once we ask for forgiveness and believe in his faith, we are at that moment perfect in the sight of God. You know, so we're not passing judgment. We are actually trying to help our brother in love. Now, the first pattern of the judgment, I believe, comes with the attitude of how we help our brother in love and in trying to help, not correct your sin, but to show them the other, because we can't correct it. That's what we call the Holy Spirit to do. You know, and I would pray that if I had to go to someone, I would pray that someone saw me an error and would come to me and let me know my error. Yeah, when you do, but I may get a little hot initially. If I am wanting to follow the Word of God, if I want to be the Christian I think I'm going to be, I will thank God that day. I will ask forgiveness and probably even go back to my brother and sister and say, you know what? I really appreciate that you came to me because that shows me that you genuinely care about my soul's salvation. And I appreciate what you did.
Candlestick, I was going to ask who would like to close in the next several minutes, but that was a wonderful close. Can you condense that and we come back to you? Because the Holy Spirit will reveal to you something that you may have left out. And we'll come back to you. Would you close us out in the next 7 minutes? We'll bring you back in and just condense this based on that tonight's topic. You have it, dear. You know, how do you tell someone that their actions or behavior, their words or actions do not appear to be Christ-like? And what you just gave was absolutely beautiful, in my opinion. And if you just condense it and give it, you know, close it out and even if it takes you 2 or 3 minutes, that is fine because you're reading even with the scripture. So we'll come back to you in about 6 or 7 minutes. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Mimi, let's go to you now. Mimi, let's go back over here. Sir Ben, stand by, because I want to really ask this question here, Mimi, and that is, like, if you know in your heart, let me put myself here. If I know in my heart that my life is just not right, but I'm struggling just like everybody else. I'm going to put everybody in this pot. Y'all got some stuff going on, and, I mean, I'm not by myself in here. So, Mimi, but is it, and I see you doing something, how dare I come to you? Because you know I got something going on too. I feel bad coming to you and trying to tell you about your stuff when my stuff is 10 times worse than your stuff. So how do you help me with that when you know my stuff is raggedy and I know you're this little bit that you're doing? I mean, okay, Mimi, let's say, for example, here's the scenario, and Candlesticks, that's where I get these scenarios. Christ spoke in parables. And from my early childhood of reading the Bible, I was very impressed with Christ speaking in parables. And I used to try to wonder, okay, what was this, the parable of the fig tree, the parable of this here, you know, all of these stories. And I said, I want to be like that. I want to tell these stories, but based on some stuff on earth that I know about and speak in sort of parable format, right, based on stories. And that's where Candlesticks, to answer your question, that's where my stories come from, but they're inspired by true stories of having done this. I've been doing stories since I was 13 that I can remember, because my brothers and I, we didn't have a television in the room, so we told each other stories that we created so that we could go to sleep at night. And we took turns every single night. One of us had a turn. It was three of us in the room. And that's how we did. So today, all of us are prolific writers, you know, but I chose to go with stuff that I've read from my studies, from my early childhood in school, stories that I remember. And, of course, these are things that the Holy Spirit brings back to my recollection. So my question, Mimi, is knowing that my stuff, you took ink pens from work, good quality ink pens from work. That's really without being authorized. So that's kind of a form of stealing. And you told me about it one day. I said, where did you get this ink pen from? Because I borrowed it. And you're like, I got these from work. I got like two dozen of them. They buy them in the purchasing department. Now, every time they buy them, I get me a box. And I said, girl, well, so I know we're in the church. So my stuff is I'm seeing three married women. So now I'm trying to tell you, girl, that's stealing. So, and you know I'm seeing these married women. So, I mean, am I good or bad?
Because you see three women?
Married women. Huh? Am I bad like Michael Jackson said? I'm bad. You know I'm bad. I mean, bad in the literal sense of bad.
Yep. If you're bad, and if I'm stealing ink pens from my employer, I'm bad. That's still wrong. So I'm still coming to you regarding, because we are our brother's keepers. And if we see someone erring, we should be able to and do it in love. And just with the same situation with me, you should tell me, yes, there was. I'm the one stealing it. I'm taking their hands. That's wrong.
Okay, so, Mimi, are you going to get a pen back? Those are nice pens. I'm not giving you the pen back that you gave me. I'm just asking, are you giving the two dozen pens back and the ones you got before that?
I'm not going to take the pens. I can go buy some pens.
But you done already took them, Mimi. That's the point. Now I'm saying, are you, in this scenario, of course, now, are you going to give them back since I told you? And that's like asking me, am I giving up those three married women? Come on, Mimi. Can I just change overnight?
I don't think so. You're not going to change overnight. You just need to get it right, and so do I.
Okay, so are you taking the pens back, or are you going to pay for the pens? You ain't, after I done told you. Because I'm not going to get it right after you done told me. And it's going to take the Holy Spirit to convict me to, you know, the closer I get to God, the more my life will start to change, you know, the things of the earth become dim and dimmer, you know, things of the world, right? So, Mimi, are you going to take them ink pens back? They're expensive ink pens.
I already took pens back.
After we had that conversation.
After we had the conversation. It was before, actually.
Mimi, how are you going to take them back? You were getting them pens, girl. And you waited until I said something. Then you had all of a sudden a guilty heart.
But, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit does, convict us. He doesn't put us in condemnation, but convict us to get it right. So I have to get it right. So I took them back.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay, so now you get to write with these same pens. They're very good. Now, it's like, all of a sudden now, three of them end up in your purse. Where do you get this pen from? Oh, darn it, that's my my employer's pen. Are you going to get, it's 8 o'clock at night, you going back to the job and return that pen? It's Friday, and you'll go back to work till Monday.
You'll go back Monday.
All three of them pens in your purse?
All three of them.
All right, okay. All right, are you going to make restitution before Candlestick closes out? Are you going to make restitution before, you know, with the others that you've taken since you've been working there 17 years?
Okay, well, I mean, I haven't taken that many pens. I bring my own pens.
From now on, right? So, all right. Sir Ben, just before Candlestick closes out, Sir Ben, can we really make restitution or decide where we are? We've committed these wrongs, ask for forgiveness, and I don't have, if it's me that took the pens, I done took them because I was there 36 years. Do I have to go back and make a count, you know, for those 36 years that I done took them ink pens? Perhaps Sir Ben is on mute. All right, then, Candlesticks, go ahead and close us out, please. But answer that question for me, somebody, before we go. Do I have to make restitution for those 36 years I took those pens? Sparkles?
Your restitution when you confess your sins to the Lord.
Okay.
But there are some restitutions we cannot physically do. But when God brings them to your attention, it is your or my responsibility to ask God for forgiveness for what you have done and never, ever do it again.
Okay. So if I have a dozen Mont Blanc pens, you know those are pens with the white tips. They're very expensive.
I do.
So if I done take 12 of them from the job, and those pens are over $100 a piece, right? So now I can just pray, Lord, forgive me for these pens. But I, you know...
If you're still working at that job, you need to take those pens back.
Okay, I'm not working there anymore, though. Come on, Candlestick.
I mean, you know, you don't have to be so hard on yourself, but God isn't.
Okay. Sorry.
You know, so God is giving us permission to carry the burden for us.
Okay.
His yoke is easy and his burden is light.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we don't know how to forgive ourselves. We carry burdens needlessly because of possibly what other people are telling us.
All right, you're closing us out. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
All right, Galatians 6:1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And I read that to say that we are our brother's keepers, but then we have to also be wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove. Now, if we're confronting someone from what I've just read, that is an area where we have not overcome in, that possibly it's not our duty to do that. And that's how we were talking earlier about, well, you know, I'm a sinner too, and I'm doing wrong. But you're not going to point out something in someone's life that you're also indulging in. And we all are indulging in something. But that does not mean that we cannot go to our brother, because Christ commands us to do that. So I just admonish all of us that as we go forth in Christ and we see our brethren in a certain situation, of course, pray about it. But it is our responsibility and their responsibility to come to one another in love so that we all can make it into heaven in peace. And that's my closing for tonight.
Beautiful closing. Thank you for the dual closing, actually, with the first part that you gave and this latter part as well. Thanks for that, and thank all of you all for participating, Ms. Bonner. We certainly appreciate you tuning in with us tonight, being invited by Mimi. We certainly appreciate your being here, and we look forward to you coming to some more.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you very much for that. All right, so listen, we're completely out of time. We want to thank all of you all. Listen, join us next week for the Dr. X Walk Show, which airs every Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you choose to bypass that show, we are on here Friday for our spiritual show, the one-hour inspirational programming. We certainly welcome you to join us from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time. Of course, if you choose to bypass that, we'll be back here that Saturday morning for a show April 20th. Oh, my goodness. We're already in the first quarter, ending the first quarter, that is.
When
you
begin your results, though?
April 24th. Uh-huh. So just before that. So you all keep it in prayer, and God's work has already been done. Whatever his will is, nevertheless, not my will, but his will be done. And thank you for that. We certainly appreciate that kind of stake. So listen, until next Thursday or until next Friday or until sometime next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, and once again, congratulations to Sunshine for being our winner this evening. You all keep calling in because it increases your chances of winning. Until next week sometime, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.